All right, you guys doing well? Doing good? All right. As Lisa mentioned, I am the director of worship at New Philadelphia Church, and I love to talk about worship. I love to talk about praise. I don't always talk about it when I'm preaching, but I feel like God's given me the green light to do that tonight, so I'm going to go full steam ahead, preaching on the topic of praise tonight and how that pertains to us at joint prayer meeting. Now, as I was getting ready for the message tonight, one thing crossed my mind that I hadn't thought about for a long time. When I was young, I grew up in a wonderful Christian family, went to church every Sunday. I think I was at church my first Sunday on earth. Like, the white people, they just go to church, you know? They give birth and they go to church. And they take the risks, I guess, that way. But I had wonderful believing parents who brought me up in the Word, brought me up in the understanding of who God is and what He had done for me. And so I grew up reading the Bible. I grew up praying every day as a child. I was saved at an early age. And what I noticed over time is that there was one particular book of the Bible that I really had trouble with. I grew up loving, you know, the Old Testament stories. You know, like, I think that's maybe a lot of boys grow up. It's with swords, you know, it's violence, it's killing, it's danger. We love it, right? And so I grew up, like, loving the stories about King David and the other kings, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles. As I got older, I loved the epistles. I loved the letters of Paul and just engaging my mind that way. But I'd say right through high school, even beyond, the one book that I had the most trouble with was the book of Psalms. Is that strange? I'd totally forgotten about this until just actually this past week. And the problem I had with it was that there was, you know, these phrases that were repeated over and over and over and over again, more so than any phrase is ever repeated probably in Scripture, this phrase, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now, as I was growing up, I would be like, I get it, you know? We praise the Lord. You don't have to tell me 100 times, you know, to praise the Lord. Why is it repeated over and over and over again? And it wasn't until I really was encountered by the Lord in college that He opened my heart, awakened my heart to His love, and I grew to understand how applicable it is to praise the Lord, and how the phrase praise the Lord doesn't happen nearly often enough in Scripture. It should be throughout the Scripture. The whole Scripture should be just praise the Lord. This is what God has done. This is who God is. Let's praise the Lord. We can't emphasize that enough. We need to praise the Lord. Amen? We're going to praise the Lord. And when we come to joint prayer meeting, praising the Lord is something that's emphasized, that's prioritized. I don't know if you noticed, but our time of praise at joint prayer meeting is longer than, for us at New Philadelphia Church at least, any other service we have during the week. Our time of praise is longer. It's scheduled to be 40 minutes, you know, give or take. It can go a bit longer if the Spirit's moving powerfully. But we block off a full 40 minutes to praise the Lord. I don't get 40 minutes to preach tonight. I'm supposed to preach less than 40 minutes, but we praise the Lord. We block that time off. From whatever church you're at, I'm guessing that your times of praise are less than 40 minutes normally, unless it's a really charismatic church that's really going for it in praise. But I want us to understand why it's important for us to praise the Lord at joint prayer meeting. We would understand why it's valuable for us to prioritize praise here. That's the question I want to address tonight. Why is it valuable for us to prioritize praise at joint prayer meeting? I thought it was very interesting. Just before we started tonight, I was still working on the message a bit just before joint prayer meeting. I was in the back room over there, and the welcoming team was gathered here, and they were praying, and there was, actually before they were praying, there was a woman, I didn't know who it was at the time, she was leading powerfully, you know, this team of welcomers and exhorting them and casting vision for them. She pulled out Ezekiel 22 and they started receiving the word as they prepared to welcome people at a joint prayer meeting. And then she led them in praise. It was Kim McDonald. Yeah. Itaewon, right? Itaewon strongly represented tonight. The praise time, by the way. Let's give it up for Itaewon praise team, by the way. Come on. It was part of Itaewon praise team plus Pastor David. Guest edition. And they did a fantastic job. So thank you guys. The welcoming team, they were praying and getting ready for the evening. And Kim, who did a fantastic job leading the meeting, I was really impressed. I didn't know who it was at first, so I had to look up and see who is leading, doing a fantastic job. And she starts, you know, talking about the importance of praise and how we need to pray for the praise team and how we want to see God anoint the time of praise. And so they go into a time of prayer and they pray for the praise team. And I'm thinking, I'm just kind of waiting, you know, are they going to pray for me? You know, I'm preaching tonight. I don't know if they are, but I'm thinking that, you know, that's what people do, right? They gather together before the service, and of course they're going to pray for the preacher because that's the most important thing going on, right? That's sometimes the way we think. And so I'm kind of waiting for it, and then Kim closes the meeting, and they didn't pray for me at all. And so for a second, I was like, huh, that's strange. But then after that, I was totally blessed by that whole sequence of events. Because for me, my heart is for people to praise the Lord. I mean, that's my mandate in life. I want to see people praise the Lord. I want to see people grow as worshipers. That's my heart. That's the burning of my heart. I don't need prayer for the message tonight. I just want to see people praise the Lord well in this place tonight. So we had a good time of praise. We often do. We always do. I'd say a joint prayer meeting. God moves powerfully in a special way. There's something special about a joint prayer meeting when we gather together and praise. But I want to address this question. Why is it important or valuable for us to prioritize praise at joint prayer meeting? Before I get to addressing that question, though, I want to address a much more simple question, or I guess a more general question than that. The question, why do we praise the Lord? Why is it that we praise the Lord? And actually what I want to do, I want you to take like 2 minutes. I want you to turn to someone next to you and share your answer. Everyone quick, come up with an answer. Why do you praise the Lord? Why do we praise the Lord? I want you to think up your answer and then turn to the person next to you and just share your answer. If you can just sum that up in one statement, what would you say? Why do we praise the Lord? Go ahead. Okay, are we good? We can't take too long. All right, I'm going to bring us all back. It doesn't take that long to make a couple of statements. Why do we praise the Lord? Pretty broad question. I would say the quote-unquote right answer to that question. If you would go to seminaries, if you would talk to the majority of pastors, you know, different church leaders, if you'd ask that question, the quote-unquote right answer to that question, which is a very good answer, is because God is worthy of our praise. I'm guessing the majority of people here answered that way. God is worthy of our praise. That is a good answer. That's an important answer. That's a helpful answer. God is worthy of our praise. God never changes. He doesn't change like shifting shadows, James says. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, it says in Hebrews 13. God is always worthy of our praise. Through high times, through low times, regardless of what we're going through, God is worthy of our praise. That's a good answer. That's a very helpful answer. But I feel like God is moving the church forward into a different answer. We'll never graduate from that answer. That's always going to be an important answer for us. But I would like to submit tonight that this is maybe in the large picture of things as we move forward into the fullness of what God has for the church. I would submit that this is a better answer. Yeah, what would that be? What could it be? That is the answer, isn't it? I would say that a better answer is because we can't help it. We praise the Lord because we can't help but to praise the Lord. God has been so good to me that I can't stop myself from praising the Lord. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to make a decision about it. I respond to the revelation of who God is and what He's done in my life, and I instantly, automatically praise the Lord. Are we getting this? Praise the Lord. I can't help it. I have to praise the Lord. You know, in Revelation 4, this picture we have of the throne room of God, and you've got these four living creatures, you know, really intense looking beings. They got eyes all around, and you know, they're, as a kid, you're probably scared of them if you read about them. Maybe as an adult, you're scared about them if you read about them. And you got these 24 elders. They surround the throne of God, and they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." And they fall down before the throne of God. They cast their crowns on the ground before the throne of God. They fall on their faces. They don't make a conscious decision. I decide, I've weighed all the evidence, and I believe that God is worthy of my praise. They see God and they respond because they can't help it. They couldn't handle it. If they tried to hold back their praise, they might implode. They might blow up because they can't. It's the King of all glory, infinite glory right in front of them. And I'll remind us here tonight that that's actually a very real place. And those are very real things that are happening right now as we sit in this room. Right now, that worship celebration is going on in heaven. God is worthy of all our praise, and when our eyes are open to it, we can't help but to respond with praise. You know, it's a bit like a sporting event, right? It's your sports team, whatever sport it is, football, you know, basketball, soccer, hockey. Hockey is my sport. Nathan's giving me a look like, why aren't you saying hockey yet? But you see, your team is in the league championship, and they're going for, you know, it's a tie game, whatever it is, late in the game, and they dramatically score the winning point or the winning points, you know, right before the buzzer sounds. And I mean, what do? You know, you jump up, you shout, you yell, you hug complete strangers if you're watching with complete strangers, because you just respond. You don't have to think, is my team worthy of my praise right now? I have to think about it. I don't know. They just respond because they receive revelation in their face of how good their team is, how worthy they are, and they just say, "You are great, and I will celebrate you. I will honor you. I will cheer for you." How much more for a God of infinite glory and infinite worth? Now, I, being a praise leader and a worship director, I get to be on stage a lot. And I get to see, that's one of the privileges of my position, I get to watch everything. You know, I get to see everyone worship. I get to watch, and it's beautiful. I love watching people worship. I love watching people connect with the Lord in worship. But there are, you know, often in our worship environments, I'll look out, and I usually stand about right here. I have my guitar, and I look out in this room as well. And I see people, and I'm thinking, man, they, just being real, they don't look like they're saved. You know, it could be a really crummy day. I don't know. It could just be a lot of heaviness, a lot of things going on. I know there's a lot of heavy things that go on in our lives. But I have, like, I know they're saved if they're members, because we go through, at New Philadelphia Church, we go through a process to make sure, and I'm sure every church represented here, you go through a process to make sure people are saved before they come on membership. But I look out and I'm thinking, I have no evidence right now. As we're praising the Lord, I have no, there's nothing I can see to suggest to me that person is even saved. God has done anything in their life worthy of praise, you know? We want to increasingly praise God because we can't help it. It's always going to be helpful for us to praise God because he's worthy of our praise. We're always going to go through times where we just have to make a decision. I know cognitively God's worthy of my praise, and that's going to help me praise the Lord. But God's bringing his church forward. He's moving his church more in love with him. He's purifying the love of his bride, and his bride is going to worship him and love him because they can't help it. I want to keep pressing in there, but I'm going to move on. We've got stuff to go through tonight. So the question again, why do we spend so much of our time? Why is it valuable for us to prioritize praise at joint prayer meeting? I'm going to give a couple of answers to this. The first answer is this, that God manifests his presence where people are praising him. When people praise the Lord, God manifests his presence. If you've been around me for any length of time, if you served with me, served under me, that's not the first time you've heard me say that. I talk about this particular facet of praise a lot. God draws near to us as we praise. And we know that God exists everywhere in the universe. That's the omnipresence of God. There is no place in the universe where God is not present. He's infinite. He's everywhere. But God is specially present, or he makes himself known, or he makes himself experienced by his people in certain places at certain times for certain reasons. And one of those times and reasons is when people are praising him. When people make a decision or they respond to God, to God's glory and his love in praise, God draws near to them. Very interesting passage in Psalm 22. Psalm 22:3 says this, that God inhabits, or God is enthroned upon, or God indwells the praises of Israel. I just quoted a few different translations of scripture there. God inhabits the praises of Israel. God's enthroned upon the praises of Israel. He inhabits the praises of his people. When his people gather together and praise him, something changes. You might notice something in the air. Like, without being aware of this, you probably, in a time of praise, it feels kind of good, right? Like, if you have no other words to describe it, you know, you might feel peace, or you might feel joy, or you might feel hope, or you might feel encouragement, or you might feel alive. All of that is just God drawing near with his presence. When his people praise him, God comes near. He makes himself known. And when God draws near to people, everything changes. All sorts of good things start happening when people praise the Lord. This is maybe the most important reason why, when we gather together for joint prayer meeting, we don't just start with prayer. Or for any of our meetings, for that matter. I would say probably for all of our churches represented here, all of our Sunday services, we start our service with praise. Why do we do that? Why would we start our service with praise when, I mean, for joint prayer meeting, the purpose of our meeting tonight is prayer, right? Why don't we just call it, get everyone together, 7 o'clock, Lisa steps up on stage, we get the slides going on the screen, and she shares a couple of topics, and we just go into it. We just start praying. Why don't we do that? Isn't this a prayer meeting? Isn't that what we're doing? Why don't we just spend 2 hours just praying? Is praise just a buffer? Is it just, you know, to kill time? What are we doing? What we're doing more than anything else, we're inviting the presence of the Lord into this place. We're saying, God, we invite you here. We want you here. We long for your presence. We're going to respond to you, and we want you to come. God, come, because that's going to change everything. God manifests his presence when people praise him. What happens when God manifests his presence? Why is it helpful for prayer? You know, we want to engage in prayer. We want to do that well. We want to lay hold of God's heart. Why? What happens when God manifests his presence? Well, one thing that happens is that we're made able, or more able, to connect with God's heart in the place of prayer, to pray in alignment with the heart of God. Lisa just mentioned a quote earlier that she kind of botched, but it's okay. Where's Lisa? I don't even see her. Okay. And she got the name of the person wrong. It's the late Phillips Brooks, who once said, you can write, you want to write this down. This is a great quote. This quote, honestly, this quote transformed the way that I understood prayer more than anything else. Phillips Brooks said this: prayer is not conquering God's reluctance, but taking hold of God's willingness. I'll say it again. Prayer is not conquering God's reluctance, but taking hold of God's willingness. Because you could gather together and pray and just pray your own ideas and try to, you know, twist God's arm into doing what you want him to do. That's the way we often approach prayer. We come to God with our own agenda and we say, God, I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast and I'm going to contend so that my agenda is established on the earth, so that you will do what I want you to do. It's not conquering God's reluctance. We don't want to fight God in prayer. We want to partner with God in prayer. And when God's presence is here, when through the place of praise, when we invite the presence of God here, we're more able to partner with God with what he wants, the desires that are in God's heart. What does God want? Man, let's ask ourselves that often. Like, God, what's burning in your heart for this nation? These the infinite burnings of the heart of God. God, what's inside of your heart? My heart's very small. Like my physical heart, but also my spiritual heart, I guess, is very small compared to the infinite eternal heart of God. He's got burnings in his heart. He's got desires in his heart for this nation. God, I want to tap into your desires. I want to know what you want. I want to come into agreement with what's burning in your heart so I can partner with you and speak those things forth into existence, because God's actually waiting for that. You know, God can do whatever he wants. He's sovereign, but he waits for his people to engage with his heart, connect with his heart, partner with him, align themselves with his heart, and speak those things forth into existence on the earth. When God's presence is here, we're more able to do that. We feel connected to God. Now, it's a long, hard prayer meeting when you're praying in the flesh. You know, if the presence of God is not here, And we all carry the presence of God, and, you know, we can... the Holy Spirit is inside of us. But when, like, there's no anointing on this, prayer is no fun. Prayer is no fun. I don't like it, you know, because I feel no oil. I feel no ease, you know. I just feel struggle. But when the presence of God is here and God's revealing his heart to us, then we can say yes to what God wants and join him. Just jump in the flow of the heart of God. Jump in that river and get carried away and say, yes, God, I agree with you. Come do that on the earth. I mean, that's what we're taught in Matthew 6. I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, it's the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, your will, God. I don't care about my stuff. I want to see your stuff done on the earth. You know what God's heart for this nation, for reconciliation and reunification, do you know what's in the heart of God for that? Like, we're not trying to convince God to do something he doesn't already want to do. Can I get an amen? Amen. Like, God is yearning for that. And he's saying, join me, partner with me, I'm going to do it. Okay, so in the presence of God, here, when he manifests his presence, we're able to pray in alignment with his heart. We're also, when he manifests his presence, we're made more like Jesus. Every time we behold the glory of God, we become more like him. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3. With unveiled faces, beholding the glory of God, we're transformed into his likeness from glory to glory. When Moses went up the mountain, his face would shine because he met with the Lord. And every time we encounter the Lord here, when God manifests his presence, when he comes down and meets with us, we become more like him. It's been said that beholding is becoming. Beholding is becoming. What you behold with your eyes, with your heart, you become more like that. If you got, you know, if you're spending time watching, you know, movies with really angry people or something like that, or really depressed people, you're going to become more depressed or angry. If you're spending time with people who are totally depressed, it's going to be very difficult to be joyful in the midst of that because they're pulling you down with their depression. You're seeing with your eyes depression. So you get depressed. When you behold Jesus, you become more like him. You become more like him in his love, more like him in his grace, more like him in his power. When he comes here, we become more like him. And why is that important for intercession? I'll tell you this. Jesus never prayed a prayer that won't be answered. Jesus prayed in perfect alignment with the heart of God. Man, if you come into perfect agreement with the heart of God, God's going to answer your prayer. That's the heart of God. And Jesus never strayed from that. He never prayed amiss. He prayed in perfect alignment with the heart of God. We want to be like Jesus, partially so that we can pray in perfect alignment with the heart of God, fellowship with him in the place of intercession. When the presence of God is here, everything changes. One other thing that happens when the presence of God is here is that we release blessing, not only in this room, but into this city. Now, we don't know exactly what's happening in the neighborhood, the homes next door, for example. But I believe God's doing something in those homes as we worship him here. God's presence isn't confined to these four walls. As we praise him, specifically as we praise him in an intercessory fashion, as we sing forth the purposes in the heart of God into this city, God's doing things. You know, I wish I knew. Maybe I'll knock on their doors sometime and ask, like, what's happening in your house at 7 o'clock p.m. the third Saturday every month, you know? How are you feeling? You feeling encouraged, joyful, hopeful, you know? Are those things happening? But we release the blessing of God upon this land as we praise him. God's presence comes. There are documented incidents of crime rates going down where people are praising the Lord. There are, you know, stories about how people will come into a room off the street when people are praising him in a particular room, come off the street into the room and get saved right then and there because God was moving powerfully upon their hearts. He was opening eyes just like outside of the room while people were praising him here. There's stories of stadium events in Argentina, maybe other nations as well, where there are stadiums of people praising the Lord And outside the stadium, in buses, people are getting healed physically and set free and slain in the spirit. And all these things are happening outside of the stadium as people are praising him inside. God's releasing blessing to this nation as we praise him here because he's manifesting his presence. And in the room, people are given fresh hope. They're given fresh encouragement. Chains are being broken off in the room while we're praising the Lord simply because he is here. For no other reason. Because when God makes himself known in a room, he just does what he does. He opens blinded eyes. He sets captives free. Released from darkness for prisons. That's just what he does when he shows up. It's valuable for us to prioritize praise at joint prayer meeting. The second thing. So the first thing is that he manifests his presence. Second thing that I want to highlight tonight is that when we praise the Lord, God becomes for us who we declare that he is. Maybe an interesting statement for you. I'll say it again. God becomes for us who we declare that he is. If we declare in faith that God is our provider, he's going to provide for us. If we declare that God is our healer, he's going to heal us. If we declare that God is our source of blessing, he's going to bless us. God will respond to the faith-filled declarations of his people. He just will. God becomes for us who we declare he is. Now, that's not to say that God changes. God doesn't change, but the way that we experience him can change. Faith-filled declarations of who God is and what he has done and what he will do are powerful. I would say that there's nothing like them. We see different examples in Scripture. 1 Kings 18, well-known story. Elijah is on Mount Carmel. And he's up against the prophets of Baal. And there's this showdown where he's got his offering and he's cut it to pieces and he's about to show that there is one God, that the Lord, he is God. He is the God of Israel and he's going to expect God to show up powerfully. Now, Baal, the prophets of Baal, they gathered around the offering they had set up and they were calling on Baal to set fire on their altar. They're calling on him, cutting themselves, just trying to convince Baal, who doesn't, like, he's a dead God, to come down and set fire on their altar. Doesn't happen. Elijah goes up to his altar and he makes a declaration. He has water poured all over his sacrifice. Make it real hard for this thing to be set on fire. It's got to be really supernatural for this thing to be set on fire. And in that place, he makes a declaration. It's basically this. He says, let these people know that you are God. Let these people know. And he makes this declaration in front of all of them. Let these people know, Lord, that you alone are God. And as he makes that declaration, God says, yes, I agree with you. I am God. I'm going to show up. And he comes down in fire and burns up the entire sacrifice. Let these people know you are God. A faith-filled declaration of who God is. I think of King David before he was king with Goliath. He's facing Goliath, massive giant. And he knows that in the natural, he has no chance to have, you know, to slay this giant, to even stand up to him. He's going to be killed in the natural without any question unless God shows up. And he makes this declaration, faith-filled declaration. He says this, among other things, he says, the battle is the Lord's and he will give all of you into our hands, the Philistines. He will give all of you into our hands. The battle is the Lord's. A declaration he makes in front of Goliath and in front of the Philistine army. And God says, yes, I agree with you. The battle is mine. You've made this declaration. I'm going to show up. I'm going to become for you what you declare that I am in faith. And that's what so much of praise is declaring who God is, what he has done, and what he will do. And as we declare that in faith, God becomes those things for us. He enables us to experience him in that way. A more corporate example, maybe the best one, 2 Corinthians 20, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, is the army of Israel going up against this massive army, this united army between the nations of Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir. And they basically have no chance to defeat this army. And they're coming against Israel. And there's, you know, in the natural, there's no way that anything good can come of this. And as a prophet of the Lord comes, long story short, says, you don't have to even fight this battle. God's going to fight this battle for you. So just watch the Lord go to work on your behalf. So what do? They go into battle and they put the choir ahead of the army. And they sing this. They sing, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As a choir, as an army, they're singing, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King, his love endures forever. Maybe they're singing that. I don't know. But they're saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And God says, I agree with you, and you're agreeing with me right now. My love does endure forever. I'm going to become for you what you're declaring that I am. I'm going to reveal myself as a God of love who is going to totally conquer your enemy right now. It says that the Lord sent ambushes against the men of Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir, and they started turning on each other. They killed each other off, and all that was left for Israel to gather at the end was the plunder that was left behind by the armies. God became for them who they declared he was. He loved them through that. He revealed himself through that. We look at the songs we sang tonight. Let's go quickly through our set list tonight. And see how we were declaring who God is and how he desires to move, because we've come into agreement with who he is. What we sang tonight, we sang, wake, you will never fade away. Your love is here to stay by my side in my life, shining through me every day. You will never fade away. As we declare that together in faith, God is saying, yes, I will never fade away. You're rising up in faith. You're making that declaration. I will show you. I'll make myself known to you as God who will never fade away. I'm here to stay. What we're saying, unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. The Lord hears that and he's like, I totally agree. like you got it, you know? That's it. And so we come into agreement with the heart of God and we sing those things into existence. And God says, I'm going to become for you in this nation what you're declaring that I am. I'm an unstoppable God. I'm going to do impossible things. We sing, great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Okay, that's it. Great are you, Lord. And God says, you get it. I'm coming into agreement with that, with your faith-filled declaration of who I am. God becomes for us who we declare he is. And as we gather here, hopefully, we gather with the understanding that we're not just singing songs that are having impact here in this room. We're singing over this nation. Hopefully it doesn't take the praise leader to remind us that that's happening. Sometimes we just do that because we like to do that. But we're singing over this nation that God is the unstoppable God for this nation. He's going to do impossible things for this nation. He's moving in power as we praise him for who he is and what he will do. There's nothing like a unified, faith-filled declaration of who God is and what he will do. And God wants to continue to grow us as worshipers who understand what's going on as we praise him and who respond well to him. I'm going to call the praise team up actually right now. We're going to spend some time praising the Lord right away in response to what we've been singing tonight or what I've been preaching. I normally sing. Right now I'm preaching. But I really feel like God wants us to get this, that as we gather together, particularly as we gather together across churches, we come together and make unified, faith-filled declarations over this nation. God is so eager to respond. God is just waiting for his church to come together. He's waiting for his church to come together and agree with him and agree with each other regarding who he is and what he's promised to do. He's building up his church to that end. And that's not even the end. That's just God wants to use the church and move forward into the fullness of his plans and purposes for this nation. He's waiting for his church to come together and do this. And so as we gather to praise, even right now, as we have the praise and other joint prayer meetings we have, I want us to understand as a united community, this is God's heart for us as we praise the Lord. He's manifesting his presence. He's becoming for us who we declare he is for this nation. He's longing and waiting for his people to rise up and come into agreement. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now. We're going to spend some time praising the Lord as Pastor Mark leads us.